Well, hello and welcome to the Archaeology News Weekly. I am David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now, let's get on with the main headlines from around the world. Bronze Age burials are found eroding from cliffs in Northumberland, and archaeologists reveal a cannibalism link to early Britons. Incredible cuneiform tablets are found in 2,700-year-old Turkish temples, and an engraved map from 4,000 years ago is discovered in Spain. Or is it? 13 ancient burial sites and temples are unearthed in Lebanon, and an ancient burial ground gets itself national designation in California. And King Arthur himself calls for human remains to be returned to Stonehenge. Archaeological sites and finds are uncovered in Ireland along the routes of new motorways, and a Bronze Age settlement is discovered in Hungary. And continuing the coastal erosion theme, Skara Brae and other coastal sites in Scotland are threatened by erosion. The origins of the domestic dog are challenged by new DNA studies, and also science plays a part in another new study on the Flora's Hobbit. Finally, we report on an 8,000-year-old human skeleton found in Turkey. Amateur archaeologist Jim Nesbitt has discovered that coastline erosion at Low Hoxley in Northumberland, England, has caused a kist containing cremated human bone to be eroded from the cliff face, close to where an earlier kist burial had been discovered. He contacted Archaeological Research Services, but by the time archaeologists arrived on the site, rising tides had already removed some of the stones from the front of the burial box. Once excavated, the small kist was found to contain fragments of human bone, as well as a layer of cremation debris at its base. A second cremation was found nearby that was also eroding from the cliff. It contained a number of burnt human bone fragments, as well as the remains of the pottery vessel that contained them. Both features were fully excavated, photographed, drawn, and recorded, and the finds were carefully packaged to avoid any further damage. Erosion does not always allow adequate time for the recovery and recording of archaeological sites, and the northeast coast of England in particular has a high number of sites that are under threat. We'll return to this issue later on in the programme. A human bone found in Devon in England, with tool cuts thought to have been made during a ritual ceremony 9,000 years ago, may reveal evidence of cannibalism. Torquay Museum staff identified the human arm bone as the documented animal remains discovered in Kent's Cavern in Torquay. Scientists who examined the bone believe the marks on the bone show flesh had been removed from it, or that dismemberment took place shortly after death. The bone marks are thought to have been made by stone tools and could indicate a ritual, or that the victim was devoured. The cave is the oldest scheduled ancient monument in Britain, and it was first unearthed. The bones were first unearthed in 1866 by archaeologist William Pengelly, who spent 15 years excavating the cavern. It was put into storage in the museum and rediscovered, shall we say, in December 2008. It was found as part of a cataloguing program which had been examining about 15,000 animal bones excavated from the cavern that had been housed in the museum's store. The museum's researchers found the butchered bone in June, and working with the University of Oxford School of Archaeology and Radiocarbon Accelerator Unit, identified it as a fragment of human arm bone. It was then radiocarbon dated to 8,185 years BP. Archaeologists said cannibalism was just one possibility, and that the markings could have been made as part of a ritual burial process. These cuts may have been made to help the body decompose more quickly and speed up the process of joining the ancestors. Finds like this highlight the complexity of mortuary practices in the Mesolithic period, many thousands of years before the appearance of farming in the Neolithic period, which is more usually associated with complex funerary behaviour. The museum said only one other site in Britain had yielded similar human remains with cut marks of this age, Gough's Cave at Cheddar Gorge. Some archaeologists have interpreted these marks as evidence of cannibalism, but ritual burial practice or dismemberment for transportation cannot be ruled out. The bones are on display at the Ancestors exhibition at Torquay Museum until September the 6th. Excavations at the site of a recently discovered temple in southeastern Turkey have uncovered a cache of cuneiform tablets dating back to the Iron Age period between 1200 and 600 BCE. Found in the temple's cella, or Holy of Holies, the tablets are part of a possible archive. The cella also contained gold, bronze and iron implements, libation vessels and ornately decorated ritual objects. Professor Timothy Harrison said that the assemblage appears to represent a Neo-Assyrian renovation of an older Neo-Hittite temple complex. The tablets and the information that they contain may possibly highlight the imperial ambitions of one of the great powers of the ancient world and its lasting influence on the political culture of the Middle East. Partially uncovered in 2008 at Tel Tayinat, the capital of the Neo-Hittite Kingdom of Palestine, the structure of the building where the tablets were found preserves the classic plan of a Neo-Hittite temple. It formed part of a sacred precinct that once included monumental stelae carved in Luwian hieroglyphic script, a now extinct Anatolian language once spoken in the area. Tayinat was destroyed by the Assyrian king Tiglath-Pileser III in 738 BCE, and the temple was later burned in an intense fire and found filled with heavily charred brick and wood, which, ironically, contributed to the preservation of the finds recovered from its inner chambers. Well, this is one where you find an amazing discovery, and I just can't wait to find out what is held within these cuneiform archives. Talking of tablets and archives, a stone tablet found in a cave in Abuntz, northern Spain, which was traditionally thought to be the home of mythological bird-footed nymphs, is believed to contain the earliest known representation of a landscape. The complex etchings were engraved on a hand-sized rock 13,660 years ago, probably by Magdalenian hunter-gatherers. Engravings on the stone, which measures less than 7 by 5 inches, is less than an inch thick. It appears to depict mountains, meandering rivers, and areas of good foraging and hunting. A team from the University of Zaragoza spent 15 years deciphering the etched lines and squiggles after unearthing the artifact during excavations of the cave in 1993. They can now say with certainty that it's a sketch map of the surrounding area. Whoever made it sought to capture in stone the flow of the watercourses, the mountains outside the cave, and the animals found in the area. The landscape depicted corresponds exactly to the surrounding geography, complete with herds of ibex marked out on one of the mountains, clearly visible from the cave itself. The research, which is published in the latest edition of the Journal of Human Evolution, furthers understanding of early modern human capacities of spatial awareness, planning, and organized hunting. We can't be sure what was intended in the making of the tablet, but it was clearly important to those who populated the cave all these years ago. Maybe it was to record areas rich in mushrooms and birds' eggs, or flint for making tools. The researchers believe it may also have been used as a storytelling device, or to plan hunting expeditions. Nothing like this has been discovered anywhere in Western Europe. However, other experts disagree with the map interpretation. Jill Cook, head of the Prehistoric Division of the British Museum, said that it was a brave theory, but it was unlikely hunters would have needed maps during this period. Multiple lines positioned over animal figures is not unusual in slabs of this period, she said, and they haven't traditionally considered them to be maps. The Magdalenian hunters' intimacy and knowledge of the landscape, including the location of individual trees and plants even, would be such that maps would be less vital to them. Only one older map has been found in Europe, in Pavlov, in the Czech Republic. This 25,000-year-old rock depicts a mountain, river and valleys from the region. It was not until 600 BCE that the first known city map was drawn of Babylon on clay. It was found in Sippar in southern Iraq. That's one of these things that's going to run, and I do love it, as I always say, when academics collide. A British Museum delegation uncovered 13 burial sites, temples and personal items dating to the Canaanite period, or the Bronze Age, in Sidon's Freres archaeological site. They uncovered the largest number of ruins this year, which helps complete the succession of historic periods discovered at the site. The delegation consists of a team of 90 Lebanese and foreign professionals and has been excavating the Lebanese site now for 11 years in collaboration with the General Directorate of Antiquities. What's remarkable about this week's discovery is that it reveals the religious rituals and lifestyle during the Canaanite period. The recent discoveries include a 48-meter-long temple filled with bronze artifacts, knives and rings, as well as pottery and stone statues. The site also contained temples dating back to 3000 BCE and 1000 BCE. The British delegation expanded its excavations this year to include the archaeological site of Al-Sandikle in Sidon, also maintained by the General Directorate of Antiquities. A site that is widely regarded as an ancient American Indian burial ground at the Bolsa Chica Mesa in California, USA, has received National Historic Designation. This has excited preservationists who say that the move grants the area just slightly more protection against future development. Federal officials last month determined the cogged stone site at Bolsa Chica as eligible for listing within the National Register of Historic Places. The area was named after hundreds of carved stone discs or cogged stones were found on the site. The discs, they think, were used for sacred rituals. The designation is just the latest chapter in a decades-long battle amongst preservationists, tribal members and developers. In 2008, tensions reignited after an announcement about the unearthing of 174 ancient American Indian remains, half of them found over an 18-month period on the site, slated to become a community of more than 300 homes. The land was once shared by the Juaneno Band of Mission Indians and the Gabrieleno Togeva. I'll probably have to say that again. The Gabrieleno Tongva tribe. I will get it one of these days. The discovery of hundreds of mysterious cogged stones and human bone fragments that are up to 8,500 years old confirmed decades-long rumours that the Brightwater Hearthside home site was an ancient burial ground of international importance. Patricia Martz, a professor of anthropology and archaeology at Cal State Los Angeles, who has spent about a decade preparing the application for the national designation, said that she plans to meet with city planners very soon about a re-evaluation. However, Jennifer Villasenor, the City Planning Department's manager, said that the city can move forward without environmental review at this stage in the annexation process and still be in compliance with state standards laid out in the California Environmental Quality Act. However, Stratton said that the National Register bears a lot more weight, especially in the realm of public opinion. It doesn't mean that we'll be able to keep it from being destroyed, but in terms of how it's going to play out, you have to now factor in the public. So who knows? Let's see what the public factor does. A Druid protester is calling for remains taken from the Stonehenge World Heritage Site to be returned and has collected thousands of signatures on a petition backing his call. And yes, you heard it right. King Arthur Pendragon himself says to take the ancient remains permanently away from what was intended to be their final resting place would be undignified and should not be allowed. He said there's no dignity left if they can just take them away and not care they were living, talking human beings at one stage. The remains were removed from the site last year for tests to be carried out as part of the Stonehenge Riverside Archaeology Project. The project, supported by the National Geographic, under the leadership of Professor Mike Parker Pearson of the University of Sheffield, led to new insights into the possible use of Stonehenge. Radiocarbon dating of human cremation burials at the ancient monument suggested that it was used as a cemetery from its inception just after 3000 BCE until well after the large stones went up around 2,500 BCE. English Heritage said that human burials and human remains are an important part of the record of our shared past. English Heritage believes that they should always be treated with respect, and that decisions about excavation, study, display and reburial should be based on the balance of benefit and harm, giving due weight to the views and interests of all those involved. Well, there has been a raging debate on Badger Forum, and so if you would like to have a look at what was said there and read more, then I even suggest that you learn more about the larger-than-life King Arthur as well. Go to the Badger Forum and just search for Druids. Modern infrastructure for the future. The motorway has opened up a window to the past, as archaeological digs have revealed a wide range of prehistoric, early medieval and early modern historical sites. Along the Athlone and Ballysloe route in Ireland, there were a number of discoveries worthy of note. Several prehistoric burnt mounds or outdoor cooking sites were discovered, and a simple prehistoric ring ditch burial enclosure was also found at Ardgawanna. Well, we are in the business of discovery after all, so it's actually really nice to know that things are being discovered. Archaeologists of Debrecen's Derry Museum in Hungary have discovered 4,000-year-old remains of a settlement during earthworks connected to a local sewage treatment project. A team of 35 to 40 archaeologists are working in an area of 2 hectares and have now identified the traces of 3 phases of the settlement. The earliest one dates from the early Bronze Age between 2700 and 2500 BCE. The settlement is believed to have been the largest of its kind in eastern Hungary. The team have found many everyday artifacts as well as 2 skeletons, unique finds from an age when people always used to cremate their dead. The excavations are scheduled to be completed by August the 20th. It's one of the best-preserved Stone Age villages in Europe, but Scar Brae in Orkney is just a few metres from the sea and is in a constant battle to save it from coastal erosion. Experts warn as many as 10,000 sites around Scotland are at risk of being swept away, many of them unexcavated and unprotected. For thousands of years, Scar Brae was hidden from view and protected from the harsh island weather. And it is that weather whipping up the sea nearby, which is still Scar Brae's greatest threat. Orkney archaeologist Julie Gibson said that recent geophysics have uncovered more of the village a short distance inland, but adds, "We don't know exactly how much has disappeared into the sea over the years before proper coastal defences were put in. Those defences are well maintained by Historic Scotland and added to each year, but on a walk around the 4-metre-high coastal wall, Stephen Watt from Historic Scotland explains some of the challenges they face. Pointing to one part of the wall, he admits that a storm 3 years ago brought trouble. He added that this particular section was so badly damaged that there was a hole that you could almost walk through, and it drew out a large amount of material from behind the sea wall. Last year, another part of the wall had to be rebuilt all the way down to bedrock to stop water from getting underneath. Archaeologists would like to document as many as possible before coastal erosion washes sites away, but some are already disappearing. The Scape Trust, a charity researching Scotland's coastal archaeology, has already helped organise community digs in several parts of Scotland. They would like to do more and gain as much knowledge about how people used to live from other archaeological remains before some of them are lost to the waves forever. But with so many sites unexcavated and potentially under threat, Tom Dawson from the Scape Trust admits that this is a race against time that would be unrealistic to expect to save them all. Well, if you want to find out more about the Scape Trust and how perhaps you could actually get involved, then go along to their website at www.scapetrust.org. I'll just spell that for you as well. It's www.scapetrust.org. Heartily recommend that you try and get involved. The suggestion that the domestic dog originated in East Asia has been challenged. The huge genetic diversity of dogs found in East Asia had led many scientists to conclude that domestication began there. But new research published in the journal PNAS shows that the DNA of dogs in African villages is just as varied. An international group of researchers analysed blood samples from dogs in Egypt, Uganda and Namibia. Today's dogs are descended from the Eurasian grey wolves. domesticated between 15,000 and 40,000 years ago. The authors say the process by which humans domesticated the dog is poorly understood. Lead scientist Dr. Adam Boyko of the Department of Biological Statistics and Computational Biology at Cornell University says that he decided to look at village dogs because they are so much more genetically diverse than bred dogs that they may hold the key to the origins of dog domestication. The team analysed DNA from 318 dogs from villages in Egypt, Uganda and Namibia and measured their genetic diversity. They also analysed the genetic makeup of dog breeds thought to have been of African origin and compared all the resulting data with results for non-African dogs. The team found genetic diversity among African village dogs that is just as diverse as those of East Asian dogs, leading them to question the hypothesis of an East Asian origin for dog domestication. Dr. Boyko said that it may be a consequence of having a lot of street dogs from East Asia that were sampled compared to elsewhere. The reason that East Asia looked more diverse than elsewhere was not because East Asia as a continent had more diverse dogs than anywhere, but because non-breed street and village dogs are more diverse than breed dogs. He said he was not ruling out East Asia as a possible location for the origin of the domestic dog, but it could equally have been anywhere else on the Eurasian landmass, where there were both grey wolves and humans. The team are now in the process of sampling street and village dogs across Europe and Asia, from Portugal to Papua New Guinea, to pinpoint the areas of greatest genetic diversity. Now there is a shaggy dog's tail. In 2003, archaeologists excavating in a cave on the Indonesian island of Flores made a discovery that forced scientists to completely rethink conventional theories of human evolution. They reported the discovery of a new species of human, one that lived as recently as 12,000 years ago, at the same time as modern humans. But others disagreed, arguing that the 1-meter-high skeleton was only a modern human that suffered from a deformity known as microcephaly. The debate has raged ever since, as you have heard on this newscast, over the past few years. But the fabulously named Debbie Argue, a PhD student at the Australian National University Department of Archaeology and Anthropology, believes that she has settled the question once and for all by comparing bone fragments from the hobbits to other hominids. She discovered that Homo floresiensis branched off the family tree almost at the beginning of the evolution of our genus, Homo, so that would have been over 2 million years ago, and as such is a very, very primitive being. The term used cladistic analysis, the first time this has been used in relation to Homo floresiensis. Miss Argue and her colleagues compared up to 60 characteristics from a range of early hominins, including Homo erectus and modern humans. They used two different computer-based modelling systems, testing relationships between the species to find the simplest evolutionary line. The results have now been published in the Journal of Human Evolution. Miss Argue describes the work as a paradigm shift in archaeology, overturning the notion that Homo sapiens were the only hominids on the planet after the extinction of Homo erectus and the Neanderthals. An 8,000-year-old human skeleton was found during excavations in one of the oldest residential areas in southern Turkey. A media report has now said the skeleton was discovered inside a Neolithic age tomb unearthed at Yumuk Tepe Hoyuk in Mersin province by archaeologists from Italy and Turkey. Beside the skeleton were three bowls, a wheat kernel and a dried olive seed. Amazing finds. And, I should say, this is a classic and finally, and very unusual as well, Sexy Archaeology. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, sexyarchaeology.org. Well, with the season picking up, they're asking you and your fellow ditch-digging buddies to send pictures of your crew or archaeology team looking their sexiest. So why don't you grab a camera, jump into the closest trench, carefully, of course, not to crush any of the finds, and strike a pose. If you want to have a look at this and actually enter it, then get yourself along to sexyarchaeology.org and you'll be able to see the required forms and all the small print, including keeping it clean, in the top bar. And more embarrassingly, I am hoping that some badgerites are going to stripped to the waist, show off their beer bellies, and enter the Sexy Archaeologist 2009. Woof. I'll tell you one thing, though, I'm not going to be doing it. Anyway, it only remains for me to say that there's many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as UK Heritage Calendar, libraries, guidance sections, and more, to be found on Badger, www.bajr.org. And unbelievably, it is only 2 weeks away from the launch of the Badger Federation, the new and improved community networking system for archaeologists. And remember, more can be found on Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. And of course, how could I forget? In 4 days' time, he says, touching wood, you will get the latest edition, issue 9 of the Past Horizons magazine, with some incredible stories in it. But I'll tell you more about that next week. So, thank you very much for listening, and we hope you'll return again to us next week.